Praise God. Amen. Take your Bibles while you remain standing a little bit longer. It's great to see everybody here in the house of the Lord today. And I especially want to extend a very special warm welcome to our guests that are joining us. We're so thankful that you came to join us today. And you get to be a guest the first time. Then after that, just make yourself at home. Because this is more than a church, it's a family. Amen. Just make yourself at home. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to begin our reading in verse 1. And I'm excited to have some baptisms after the service today. We're having a baptism service, so please stay for that as well. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, everybody say Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. What a great man he sounds. He's honorable, a great man. He delivered Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. That word, but, everybody has one of those words. You know, in spite of everything, you know, our accomplishments, there's always a but. But he was a leper. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha said, we've gone down to verse 9 now. Naaman needs some help. So he came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Everyone say 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He was angry. Remember, he's an important guy. And he went away and said, behold, I thought. Everyone say, I thought. Everyone say, he thought. I thought that he surely would come out. I thought Elisha, the man of God, would come out of his house. But instead, a servant came out to talk to him. I thought that Elisha would come out to me and stand, and he would call upon the name of the Lord his God, and he would strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Hanor Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, aren't these rivers? I mean, you want me to dip in the Jordan 7 times? I can think of better places to dip. Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, are better than all the waters of the rivers of Israel. Can't I go and wash in them and be clean? He said, I want to dip in the muddy water of the Jordan. What about these? I thought these would be better. So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants, thank God for his servants, they came and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? But much rather then, when he saith, wash and be clean. He said, if he asked for millions of dollars, you would have done it. If he asked for anything else, you would have done it. All he's asked is for you to dip into the Jordan River 7 times, you're going to be clean. He says, much rather, the servant says, go wash and be clean. Then he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, in obedience to the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I want to minister today on this thought, muddy water. Everybody say, muddy water. Muddy water. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word today. Let faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Speak to us today. Speak to somebody's heart. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. You may be seated. Naaman was a leper. He was a leper. He had leprosy. He was a mighty man of valor. There had a lot of things going for him. He was respected. He was honorable. He had a lot of things going for him. He had favor with the king of Syria because he had delivered Syria in a battle. But in spite of everything he had going for him, he was a leper. Naaman was a very common name in ancient Syria. The name Naaman means gracious, fair, and pleasant. And this man, this particular man, however, had distinguished himself in so many ways. He was the commander of the army. He was a great man of social standing and a man of prominence in his community. He was honorable and highly regarded in military circles. He was a mighty man of valor. He had great wealth. He was a courageous warrior, but he was a leper. He was a leper. Let me tell you, there will come a time in everybody's life when you know that material things, possessions, and position, you can accumulate it all, but there will come a time in everybody's life where you'll say, it no longer satisfies me. It no longer fulfills me. It's not what I need. It's all temporal things. There will come a time in your life when you, like Naaman, have got everything and you say, you know what? Something is missing in my life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Luke chapter 12, we read about a rich man, and he treasured his job. Everyone say his job. He treasured his job. He was a farmer, and he treasured his job. His job helped form his identity. He got everything from his job. He really treasured it. He said, I finally made it. I've got so much now. In fact, I've got so much coming from my farm now that I don't have enough room to store it all. I finally reached the pinnacle of success. I got that promotion. I reached that pay bracket. I finally got there. But what did God say to him in Luke 12, verse 20? God said to him, you fool. That would have been a shocking thing. Well, hang on. Look at all the things I've got. Look at my house, look at my car, look at my bank account, look at my status in society, look at my job, look at all these things. What did God say to him? Thou fool, you will die this very night, then who will get everything you worked for? In other words, you can't take it with you when you die. And then verse 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The only thing that you can take, only what you do for Christ will last. And there will come a time in everybody's life when you've got all the possessions, you've chased everything that you thought was going to satisfy you, and you will look and say, none of it satisfies. Something is missing. And Naaman had everything. He had the status. He was a warrior. He had everything he could have ever wanted, but he was a leper. Think about it. As he walked around with his armor on, covered up with the armor and all this shiny armor, he walked around. There was something under the armor. He could cover it to everybody else. Nobody saw it, but there was something under the armor. As he marched around and people saluted him, nobody else knew, but there was something under the armor. He could smell it. When he went home by himself and he took off his armor, he became aware that yes, what the world thought of him was not the true reality, because underneath he was a leper. And that's a big picture of what the world is like today. We get up in the morning and we put on our finest clothes. We put on a smile. When people ask us, how are you, say, I'm doing fine. Yeah. But what's under the armor? What's under the armor? Because you know what's under the armor. And I tell you today, you can accomplish everything in this world. You can have everything in the world. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And this rich man was called a fool. Why? Because he was rich towards everything except God. He gave his time to everything except God. He gave his finance to everything except God. He gave his talents to everything except God. And God said, you are a fool because you can't take any of that with you. And so here is Naaman. Naaman is a leper. And there was a maid in his house. If you read the whole account, I don't have enough time today. But this maid, this humble maid, she knew of his condition. And she came and she said, I know a prophet that can help you. Elisha had a double portion of the prophet of Elijah. And we ought to be thankful for people that are going to be honest with us. That maid, it would have been a scary thing to go to Naaman, who was like head honcho in Syria, and say, you know what, you need help. You need help. Thank God for people who are honest enough to come to us with the reality and say, you need help. And she comes, this maid comes, We got to be honest about our condition. Thank God for people who are honest with us. We think we can fool ourselves, but thank God for people who say, hey, stop, you're pursuing the wrong things. You're headed in the wrong direction. You're treasuring the wrong things. You need some help. And so Naaman has a problem, but he finds a solution thanks to people who care about him enough to go out of their comfort zone. The maid had to go out of her comfort zone. And so Naaman heads off to Elisha, and he goes down, and he's still got a big head. He's still got an ego. He's got his horses and his chariots. He says, come on, guys, we're going to Elisha. And he's there, the man, he's on the chariot. He pulls up the front of Elisha's house, and he's expecting a big deal. He's expecting Elisha to come out with the robes, to strike his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. But Elisha just stays inside. I don't know what he was doing, feet up on the couch. Maybe he was tired, and he says, oh, they say, well, someone's here for you, Elisha. He goes, who is it? Oh, it's Naaman. Oh, yeah, cool. Hey, go and tell him to dip in the river 7 times and he'll be healed. Oh, you're not going to go yourself, Elisha? No, don't bother. Just tell him, servant, go out and tell him, dip 7 times in the river and you're going to be healed. And so the servant goes out. Oh, my Lord. Naaman. Naaman's singing. Where's Elisha? I deserve more than a servant. He goes, well, Elisha sent me a message. He said, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and you're going to be healed. Naaman was carnal. He said, I thought Elisha would do something sensational. I thought that he would come and do something amazing and I would be recovered. Naaman couldn't believe he was being asked to dip in the muddy water. He couldn't believe that he was being asked to dip in the Jordan River. He says, you know what? I could think of much nicer rivers than the Jordan River. The Jordan River's not appealing. It's just muddy water. Everybody say muddy water. Now let me stop and say this today. If you've taken notes, write it down. Sometimes there is muddy water between you and what God wants to do in your life. Sometimes there is muddy water between where you are now and what God wants to do in your life. And you say, what is the muddy water? Well, sometimes there's things that you don't understand. Sometimes you just need to be obedient to God because it's in God's word, even though you don't understand. Sometimes there is muddy water and God will honor your obedience. God will honor your faithfulness to Him. Be obedient, even if it's muddy water. Even if you don't understand everything, and we will never understand all the things of God, but be obedient to God, because sometimes there's muddy water between where you are now and what God wants to do in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Naaman says, "Hey, it's just muddy water. I thought you'd do something sensational. I thought there would be a lightning or a light show or big music, a band or something like that. And come to think of it, I could think of much better places than the Jordan River." You see, sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes when we look at the Word of God, we say, oh, there must be an easier way. There must be a nicer way. I'm not really ready to humble myself like that. Surely God doesn't want all. He'll be happy with just a little. I'm not ready to let go of some things. And what did Naaman said? He said, well, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? You see, sometimes we can be insulted. Everyone say insulted. Insulted by the commands of God. My heart's right. Why do I need to repent? I'm not as bad as other people. Why do I need to repent? Or you know, my heart's right. I don't need to be baptized. God understands me. No. Sometimes people get offended. They said, no. Jesus said, unless you be baptized, you cannot be saved. He says in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we said, oh, come on, that can't be true. That's muddy water. I don't understand that. Surely there's better ways. Maybe if I just give $1,000 to the Lord or something like that, or I work for God, don't have to worry about the baptism part of it. That's just muddy water. We're often insulted by the commands of God. Often God will lead us in a direction that we don't want to go. And we say, God, I want to go that way. Why can't I do it this way? We say, there's a better way to accomplish this. I got a better idea, God. Listen to Naaman. He says, I thought, I expected. Why shouldn't I? Why can't I? He's arguing with God because he didn't want to go into the muddy water. But the truth is, he was a leper. And it's important to be truthful with yourself. You can trick other people, but you can't trick God. You can trick other people, but you can't trick yourself. He walked around with that armor on, and everybody thought everything was fine, but underneath, the skin was rotting. Underneath, there was the smell of death. What is under your armor? You see, it's important to be truthful with yourself. It's important to be truthful about your condition. It's important to be truthful about your spiritual condition. Naaman had to take the truth, and the truth was spoken by the man of God. And Naaman had to hear the word, and he had to apply the word. We can come to church as much as we want. In fact, some of us have heard enough preaching to save the whole world. But hearing preaching doesn't save us. Hearing what's right and what the word of God says does not save us. We have to apply it to our life. And so Naaman gets the message from Elisha via the servant. And once Naaman got the message, he's got two choices. Everyone say two choices. He could ignore it and try to cope with his leprosy. Well, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and get a second opinion. I'm going to go see another doctor. I'm going to go and try another mechanism. Some way I can cope with this leprosy. So he had two choices. He can ignore it and try to cope, or he could obey the word of God and be cured in spite of the muddy water. In spite of that, he didn't understand why he had to go to the Jordan River. He didn't understand why he had to dip seven times. But he had two choices. Either he could just learn to cope with his leprosy and try to do things in his own strength, or he could trust God, obey God, and be cured of the leprosy. There was one thing standing between Naaman and the cure, and it was muddy water. And for us, for some of you today, there's one thing standing between where you are and what God wants to do in your life, and it's muddy water. You say, I just don't understand why. I got my own way. I'd rather do it this way. No, the truth is, he was a leper. Now, leprosy in the Bible is a type. I spoke in the 9:15 service about sin, about types and shadows. And leprosy in the Bible was a type of sin. And sin is to the spiritual like leprosy is to the physical. The Bible teaches that sin is like leprosy. It's a disease that no man can control. Sin like leprosy is contagious. It's not inherited, but it's acquired. It has a tendency to increase. You see, sin will always take you further than you wanted to go. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it will cost you more than you wanted to pay. Sin, like leprosy, is incurable except for the power of God. And here is the reality today. As we sit here with our armor on, we want everybody to think, you know what? I'm really good. No sin in me. I'm fine. But the truth of the matter is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to face the truth today. If you have not been baptized, if you have not been born again, then there is still sin in your life. You need to face the truth, and you need to do what God says for you to do. I know sometimes it's hard to understand. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And we say, no, I don't understand that. It's just muddy water. Well, you got a choice. You can continue the way you are, or you can be obedient to God's word and have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we rejoice today as some souls are going to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins today. And so it may not make sense. Naaman said, well, aren't there better rivers? Isn't there a better way? Isn't there another way? But the waters of baptism will strip you of sin. It will restore you as new. And so Naaman, the top of his profession, he had wealth, he had social standing. He was a hero amongst his friends. He was admired by his associates. But if you have sin in your life and if you're not right with God, then you're not ready to go to heaven. I want to tell you that today. I know you're going to go to a lot of churches. You're going to hear people preach a really nice sounding message, but I'm not one of those type of preachers. I want to tell you, if you don't deal with the sin issue, you will not make it to the kingdom of God. But the gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. You don't have to live in sin because Jesus provided a way of escape for us. He is the Lamb of God. His blood was shed for us. And though your sins be as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so that is the good news today. The good news is though we are sinners, Jesus provided a way of escape. And many people say, oh, I'm smarter than that. Abana and Farfa, they're better rivers. I got my own way. No, unless you do it God's way. He was still going to walk away a leper unless he did it God's way. He had a choice. You can either go and hope to be able to just cope with your leprosy and walk around with your armor on, smelling it all the time, knowing the truth about yourself, or you can obey God and be cured. Muddy water. Everyone say muddy water. You talk to people, you tell them a way of salvation. They say, sounds like muddy water to me. But if it's in the Bible, we have to do it. Finally, he was convinced to obey God's word. Here it is, 2 Kings 5, verse 13. And the servants came near and spake and said unto him, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? All he's asked you to do is to wash in the Jordan and you're going to be clean. Now, this is where I think Naaman was at. It's not hard to obey God, but it is humbling. Once Naaman heard the message, he had to humble himself. He had to dip seven times. Everybody say seven. Now, seven in the Bible is a significant number. God rested on the seventh day. Naaman had to dip seven times. Joshua marched around Jericho 7 days. Seven priests blew seven trumpets. The word seven is used more than 50 times in the book of Revelation. Seven letters to seven churches, seven spirits before God's throne, seven golden lampstands, seven stars in Jesus' right hand, seven seals of judgment, seven angels with seven trumpets, all of those things. You see, the number seven is significant of a divine mandate has been fulfilled. That a God-given mandate, a God-given instruction has been fulfilled. And so he had to dip seven times. Can you imagine him down there? It was not hard to obey God. It's very humbling. And he walked into the water. And he dips once, twice, three times. He gets to seven. And the Bible says he comes up and his skin is like a baby's skin. You see, he was obedient to God's word. He humbled himself and God healed him of leprosy. And that is the same with salvation. When it comes to the plan of salvation, there is only one plan of salvation. There may be many people that believe many different things, but there is one plan of salvation, and it just happened to be preached on the first day of the New Testament church. Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, and then Peter, who just happened to have the keys of the kingdom. Jesus said, my gospel will be preached beginning at Jerusalem. And so Peter, who has the keys to the kingdom, he's in the city of Jerusalem. It's the first day of the New Testament church, the first sermon. And what does Peter preach? He Here is what he preached. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to verse 39. It's a great scripture because he preaches the gospel. And then people say, what must we do? And then he tells them. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Everyone say, what shall we do? Okay, that's a good question. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, okay? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say, repent. And be baptized. Everyone say, baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Pastor, that sounds like muddy water. It's what the Bible says. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He said, I know you're a rabbi. I know you are a teacher come from God. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, sounds like muddy water. How can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born of water was then preached by Peter in Acts 2. To be baptized in water, to be born of spirit, speaks of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And some people say, well, it sounds like muddy water. Let me tell you, if it's in the Bible, we have to obey it. It will change your life when you're born again. So much that it won't feel like you've turned over a new leaf. Some people say, I became a Christian. I turned over a new leaf. No, the Bible calls it being born again. Not turning over the same leaf, but a completely new leaf, a new life. So much so, Paul said that all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's stand in this house today. If the musicians could come. The old is gone. There's a new name written down in glory. We're going to sing that song again, Brother Akbar. If the musicians and singers can come. The old is gone. I'm going to ask those that are getting baptized to go and get ready now. Sister Sue, if you could take them. Sister Ruth, amen. We're going to have a baptism service in just a moment. We're going to do it a little bit different now because you can actually... No, we don't all have to go to the back of the church now. Some family and friends can go to the back. And then it's going to be on the screen. You'll be able to see it on the screen. That's what's happening at the back of the church. So we can worship God until they're ready. Amen. 2 Kings 5 verse 14. Here it is. Then went he down. Where did he go? Where did Naaman go? Into the muddy water. He finally obeyed. Sometimes we wrestle. We wrestle. God. But eventually... He went down into the muddy water, dipped himself seven times. You see, seven speaks of that divine completion. He dipped himself seven times according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Maybe there's somebody here today, and I'm preaching about baptism just in case you're wondering today. Because we've got a baptism service. Maybe there's others here today that have been thinking about it and thinking maybe, well, sounds like muddy water to me. Some people say, well, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Well, not ready to humble myself like that. I think I'm a good person. No human being is good without God. Some people say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm going to wait till I get good. Wait till I sort some stuff out in my life and then I'm going to start living for God. I'm going to be baptized. No, you don't wait. You don't get good so you can get God. You get God so you can get good. And so somebody here today has been struggling with the muddy water and God's using this simple man. I know maybe you expected something more like Elisha, like Naaman did. He expected something more. Maybe you expected something more than what you're hearing today, but this man has preached the word of God to you today. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not muddy water. It's God's word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, to be in your house today. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for those that are going to be baptized today. We rejoice with them. Lord, we rejoice with heaven, Lord, for your word tells us that there is a party in heaven, that heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. And we rejoice, Lord God, for these souls that will be baptized today. Lord God, I pray for that person you're speaking to today, whoever they are, however many there are today. Lord God, who have been wrestling with this question of baptism, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that they would find a way of obedience, Lord God, to obey your word. Lord God, to stop walking around with their armor on. Yes, God, we can impress others. Others may think we're great, but you know the true condition of our heart, even the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So, Lord, I pray that somebody today would be obedient to your word. Lord God, that they would humble themselves. Lord God, put aside the fact that they may not understand everything and say, I choose to obey your word, God. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands right now, church. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. We want to be obedient to you. In this world, Lord, where there's so many opinions, oh God, on your word. Lord God, the flower may fade and the grass may wither, Lord, but your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord God, But Lord, help them, Lord God, because what stands between where they are now and what you want to do in their life is the muddy water. Lord God, I pray that they would humble themselves, put aside their own thinking and worldly thinking, oh God, and say, I must be obedient to your word. Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Tell the Lord you love him today. He made a way where there was no way. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen, amen, amen. We're gonna...